Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll dig into Oregon's racist history to get the day started, not the part where Oregon barred black people at the start of statehood or the Klan control of much of government around 1920, but later, the racism resurgence of the 1980s and 90s is the focus of a high school curriculum developed at the Oregon Historical Society. In the inverse of the old Sinclair Lewis novel, It Can't Happen Here, the curriculum is called It Did Happen Here. It shares a name and a lot of material with a podcast by that name. Mick Crenshaw is one of the podcast creators, an MC, an activist, and the executive director of the nonprofit Education Without Borders. Mick, welcome.
Hey, thank you. It's actually Mike, but I see why people... Okay, Mike.
Of course. Yeah, as in drop the mic. Okay. All right. Thanks for the correction there. Appreciate that. Katie Pearson is also with us, education and programs manager at the Oregon Historical Society. Hi, Katie.
Hello. Thank you for having me here today.
So, Mike, as we mentioned, It Did Happen Here is already a podcast and a book. Talk about the original spark of creation. What happened?
You know, I was working at KBOO, and in the earlier 2000s, I became a station manager. And there I met a program director by the name of Aaron Yankee. So we worked closely for a number of years. Both of us had a history in the punk scenes in different cities in the United States. Both of us wound up in Portland. My history in the punk scene in Minneapolis brought me into contact with neo-Nazis in the 80s. And my friends and I were part of a multiracial group of anti-racist skinheads. And we began to organize to defend our scene against the violent threat of racial terror. Some of that organization evolved into a youth movement. Later took on the name Anti-Racist Action. And we wound up networking with anti-racist youth activists in Portland, Oregon, who started their own chapter. The reason they did so was because Portland had a really bad neo-Nazi skinhead problem in the 80s and into the 90s. And an Ethiopian immigrant by the name of Mulugeta Sarah was actually murdered in Southeast Portland in 1988. In response to his murder, anti-racist activists across the city built a coalition. Different organizations, different individuals came together in the punk scene from the gay and lesbian community, from the black community, different communities of color, and took a stand and organized and fought literally to rid the city of the neo-Nazis. So that's what the podcast talks about, and that's what the book talks about. And then this past year, we partnered with Oregon Historical Society, and it's now a high school curriculum.
So it's not just that you covered this stuff. You lived it. You were part of it. You moved here after the Mulugeta Sarah murder. Is that right?
Yeah. And it's, you know, I moved here for my own reasons, but I knew that I could get involved with anti-racist activism when I got here because of my connections to what was happening in the community.
Wow. So a lot of history here to talk about. Katie Pearson, how did the development of the curriculum get started?
Absolutely. Well, I was a big fan of the podcast. I grew up in Oregon. I'm from rural Oregon. And growing up in the 80s and 90s, we did see a rise of hate groups, but it wasn't something that was talked about in school. It wasn't until I was an adult that I learned about the murder of Mulugeta Sarah. So when I started listening to this podcast, it really brought to light this important piece of history. And as I listened to it, I was able to really make the connections between how our exclusionary past created a rise of hate groups in the 80s and 90s, and how that still continues to impact us today. The other thing is this podcast really highlights the impacts of being an activist. You hear from people like Mike and China and John about their experiences and the emotional and mental and physical toll of it, but also the importance of it. So as an educator, I'm always looking for ways to try and make that connection between the past to contemporary events. That's what students need. They need to understand that connection. But we also need to make sure that we are teaching history in a way that empowers students. So this It Did Happen Here podcast really was a special opportunity to help make that connection between early Oregon history and that rise of hate groups, and really looking at how community members organize to fight back. It's also a really powerful opportunity for students to see how everyday people, right? Many of the activists that are featured in It Did Happen Here come from diverse backgrounds. Many of them were youth. So it really shows how everyday people can take action, and it invites them to really consider why that action is still needed today.
We're talking about the curriculum put out by the Oregon Historical Society with some other partners called It Did Happen Here, Fighting Neo-Nazi Organizing and Violence in the Pacific Northwest in the 1980s and 90s. Our guests are Mike Crenshaw, who created the podcast and the book that led to the curriculum, and Katie Pearson, who is at the Oregon Historical Society. You might have questions or comments for our guests. Send them along by email to jx@jeffnat.org. Talk about, go a little further on what you were just talking about, Katie, though, about taking it back a little bit further, because obviously there are roots of racism that go far beyond and far before the Mulugeta Sarraw murder.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when we start to look at Oregon history, some of that exclusionary language that's included in our Constitution, if we pause for a second, our Constitution prohibited slavery, but it also prohibited Black Americans from coming into the state. And that exclusionary language, also combined with the fact that Black Americans were excluded from the Donation Land Claim Act, really created an environment that was not welcoming for BIPOC people. And so we see over time, this exclusionary language does lead to rise of hate groups. And it's important, one of the things I want to point out is that the Oregon Historical Society is not neutral on the topic of white supremacy. We firmly believe that we need to teach a factual history about Oregon's past, and that factual history includes looking at issues of white supremacy and racism. But when we do that, we also need to make sure that we are pointing out the activism of groups that fought back, because there have always been groups and individuals who have fought back against that oppression. So thinking about that, this curriculum really supports the new state standards. Oregon has inclusive education standards that include tribal history, shared history curriculum, Holocaust and other genocides learning concepts, and our new state standards that are the social science standards integrated with ethnic studies. And so in thinking about this curriculum, this is an important piece of history that makes those connections between the past and today. It really highlights the diverse perspectives of people and really inspires students to think about the importance of activism and the fact that they have agency. And all of that is in line with these state standards.
Mike Crenshaw, episode one of the podcast series, and the podcasts are included in the curriculum too. Episode one starts with a splash, a warning about language and a woman's story of getting attacked by a crowd of skinheads. She got away. It's scary stuff. And I just, this is still life for people you got to talk to. Was there any difficulty in finding people who remembered those times?
Not really for me. And I think that's one of the biggest contributions that I was able to make to the podcast. There was a team of us, you know, Aaron Yankee, Julie Perini, Alec Dunn, Selena Flores, and Mo Baustern, who was later the principal writer of the book. When you listen to the podcast, I'd say about 75% of the people we interviewed were people who I either knew personally or know personally, or was one degree of separation from. The times that a lot of us went through and organized and survived through in our youth actually gave a lot of us a sense of community. You know, on one end of the spectrum, you have a trauma bond from a shared experience that wasn't something that was mainstream. It was part of a subculture. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have people who are actually best friends. And, you know, remember, a lot of us were young. We were high school age. We were in our early 20s and into our 30s. And in the 80s, we didn't really, in 90s, we didn't really have social media and cell phones. So I think the intimacy of our relationships and the shared struggle actually created tight bonds that a lot of which are still active today.
Mike Crenshaw and Katie Pearson are guests on the Jefferson Exchange. They are collaborators on the curriculum coming out of the Oregon Historical Society called It Did Happen Here, Fighting Neo-Nazi Organizing and Violence in the Pacific Northwest in the 1980s and 1990s. Katie, the essential question goes on for more than half the lessons in the curriculum. How did everyday people organize against hate groups in the 1980s? What can we learn from their work? What connections does it have to today? Back to the part about everyday people, was it more grassroots than a governmental response to racism?
Absolutely. In thinking about how these lessons came together, we started by trying to help students understand Oregon's legal and social racism so that we start by analyzing primary sources so that students can get some of that background. Then from there, we start to look at what was happening in Portland in the 1980s, and we begin to hear from activists about the things that they were seeing. You know, this essential question is incredibly big and broad because it's inviting students to think about history and civic engagement and make that big connection that happens there. As students go through the lessons, they'll start to see that a lot of the responses from activists, from grassroots organizing, from community members, came about because there was a lack of response from authorities. In particular, lesson 4 is all about a diversity of tactics. And that lesson starts off with students analyzing a summary of racially motivated incidents from 1987 to 1988. And as they do that, they look to see if they can identify patterns. Who were victims? What happened to them? Who were perpetrators? And what was the response of authorities? From there, they have to listen to a clip from the podcast where they learn about one of these people who was the victim of racially motivated violence and how authorities didn't respond to appropriately support and protect them, and how it was truly activists, it was community members that stepped in and did that.
So, Mike Crenshaw, I looked at the pictures once again of the white supremacist leader Tom Metzger smiling after the jury found him responsible for inciting Mulugeta Seurat's murder. Tom Metzger is dead and gone, but there are still plenty of people occupying roughly the same space he occupied?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are. There are still plenty of hate groups. You know, since that time in the late 80s when Tom Metzger lost the trial against the Southern Poverty Law Center, and was sued and went and bankrupted. Nazis, neo-Nazis, white supremacist hate groups have, on the one hand, in the immediate way, they figured out how to be more underground. You know, the Nazi skinheads had a very definitive look. There were like patches and tattoos and different insignias that they wore in public. And then they figured out how to blend in with the mainstream a bit more. The challenge with that is, along with that, their politics became more mainstream because they didn't have as much of an overtly menacing presence. And they figured out how to align their politics with some of the historical values that have always been a dominant force in this society, going back to the founding of this nation. So it's not so much today that you're going to see people walking around with swastika flags and Confederate flags, although we do still see that. Now we need to really be careful about people who are working to lobby, people who are working to push laws further right, people who are wishing to erode human rights that we should all have equitable access to in this country in ways that are more repressive. So it hasn't gone away. It's changed forms. It's still here. And I think that's why this work is important, to look at this history through the podcast, the book, and the curriculum, get it in the classrooms, because we're going to continue to face the same type of challenges we have in the past, but they're going to continue to morph and look different through time.
Yeah, absolutely need to know the history. This is not, K.D. Pearson, easy stuff to look at, read, or hear at times, but, you know, we are dealing with high school kids, some of them adults already. Is there any buffering applied, any softening of the material for the benefit of the younger students?
That is an excellent question. Certainly, as we were working on creating this material, we really thought about what are the important pieces that we want students to interact with and engage with, and how can we do this in a way that invites them in. I think it's important for us to acknowledge that many students have been victims of racially motivated violence. I think it's also important to acknowledge that many educators have noticed a rise in white nationalism in our schools. I was a public school teacher for 15 years, and I will say in the last 5 years, I absolutely saw a rise of white nationalism in our school. So many students already have a personal connection to it. In creating this material, we really wanted to highlight opportunities for empowerment and agency, and offer students an opportunity to really think about how these activists took action and how that is an action that they can also take on in their own lives. The unit ends with a lesson that's called It's Still Happening Here. And this was created in partnership with Western State Center, which is a group that really works to make sure that we have an inclusive democracy. And they provide a variety of toolkits and supports to help community groups, grassroots organizing, and also school groups. And so in that lesson, we include their toolkit, which is Confronting White Nationalism in Schools. And it really presents examples of what white nationalism organizing looks like and how students can take action against it.
Okay, to work against it in the world today. Yeah, so it's not, yeah, so beyond the historical angle of it. We're out of time. Thank you both for joining us. Katie Pearson, Education and Programs Manager of the Oregon Historical Society, and Mike Crenshaw, one of the creators of the It Did Happen Here podcast. Thank you both for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you so much.
There you bet. Short break on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll be back to talk with Ukraine.